Sunday morning to you. It is 7:09, and I am Susie Jones. Back from vacation. Josh Wheeler is at the helm this morning. Josh, I was in Arizona a week ago today.
Yeah.
And it was 75 degrees.
It feels like that outside right now.
You know what? It really does. I got up this morning. I put on my, what was I going to wear today? What am I going to wear?
Mm-hmm.
And I put a vest on, just a little vest, and it was perfectly fine.
It's amazing out.
What's it, about 30 right now?
It's 31.
31. That is fabulous. I was hearing Chris Schaefer talk about the sub-zero temperatures and how many we've had in a row, and he said something that always warms my heart. You want to know what that was?
Mm.
He said, I think we're done with the sub-zero temperatures for the year.
Let's hope.
And I know that there's some science to that in the sense that our Earth access in relationship to the sun. And let me tell you, I'm no astrophysicist. I don't know if you knew that or not. I'm not.
It might be. I don't know.
I'm not. But I know that we tip a certain way in relationship to the moon that makes it harder to get that cold. So we'll take it. We will take it.
We may not be done with sub-zero, but we do
you
have snow and ice. Snow and ice are still in play.
Okay. I think he even said that in one of the reports last week.
We learned in 2018 that even on April 22nd of the year, we can get a very bad blizzard. So
is that what happened?
I remember that because that was when the Wild were in the playoffs and players had to walk to the X from West 7th because their cars were stuck in snow for the playoff game. So I remember that very well.
Yeah. Well, that's a distinct memory. So this time of year, particularly, I am hearing, I don't know about you, Josh, but I'm hearing a lot of people are sick. I don't know about you. We've had it in the newsroom. People have been sick mm-hmm. with colds and fevers and all sorts of different ailments. And so we wanted to check in with the Minnesota Department of Health and find out what's going on in terms of sickness and the severity of sickness. And if you're listening and you've been sick and your family's been sick, feel free to jump in. What's worked for you? What hasn't? Just how you're managing the current sickness that seems to be plaguing us. We've invited Karen Martin to the program this morning. She is the health program manager in the infectious disease division of the Minnesota Department of Health. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, is that true? I mean, does that sort of jive with what you're seeing at the state in terms of number of people getting sick, reporting sick? And we'll start with that.
Yes. The short answer is yes. I believe we're right in the thick of things as far as respiratory season. You know, one thing you can expect every year is to have some sort of increase in respiratory illness. And we certainly got it this year. You know, there's lots of different viruses going around. Sometimes some are higher, sometimes other are higher. Probably flu is winning that right now. But yes, there is a lot of respiratory disease out there right now.
And there's that differentiation. I think a lot of people think flu and they think throwing up, but that's mm-hmm. really not the flu you're talking about, is it?
Correct. I'm talking about respiratory flu. So like, you know, you get hit with a fever and body aches and, you know, you might have a cough and, you know, there's a spectrum of illness and some kids might get a little bit of an upset stomach, but it's not what people would call the stomach flu, which is typically a norovirus where there's just very, you know, severe vomiting and diarrhea.
And norovirus has been a factor, has it not, this year, too?
Yeah, not to say that that's not happening as well. It has been a banner year for norovirus as well. So, you know, it's definitely been a trial for folks trying to get through the winter and through, you know, through this illness season.
And as we just talked about, you know, while it's nice today, you know, 35, 40, 45, we're not out of the woods in terms of the sickness season. You say we're right in the thick of it. What is sort of the length? When do we sort of claim we're out of the illness, the sickness period?
Yeah, that's a great question. And because we're talking about a few different illnesses, you know, it's hard to say exactly when things are going to really taper off. But typically things pick up, at least for respiratory illness, they tend to pick up, you know, in the late fall, peak somewhere between December and sometimes March. And then after that, we usually see a fairly steady decrease until spring. So it's quite long. It's quite long. And I think some folks think that, oh, you know, it's February or it's even March 1st. And, you know, so I should be good now, or, you know, maybe I don't need a vaccine. But the truth is that, like, there's a lot of respiratory season left. And so I would say we're going to have activity for at least a couple more months, but things look like they're starting to come down.
All right. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Tell us your story. Do you have sick kids at home? Are you sick? Did you have a wingdinger season? Have you been vaccinated? Do you think about getting vaccinated for the flu and other respiratory illnesses? It's time for you to join the show. It's 15 minutes past 7 o'clock. Again, our guest is Karen Martin, the health program manager in the infectious disease division of the Minnesota Department of Health. 651-461-9226. We'll be back right after this. And we are back. It is just about 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. My name is Susie Jones, Josh Wheeler at the helm, and our guest this week is Karen Martin. She is the health program manager in the infectious disease division of the Minnesota Department of Health. And we're talking about being in the thick of the respiratory illness season. A lot of people sick, including, I'll say, Karen, my sweet grandson, who's just about 9 months old.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. He was it's just so hard to see him. He has the little circles under his eyes, and and he's coughing and snotty, and oh, he had a fever. I'm like, take him to the doctor. And they're like, Mom, we did. We're not stupid.
It's so hard to see the little ones like that, with the little ones, you know, when they're stuffed up and they,
and they have that little face, that little droopy face. He smiled, though. I got to tell you, he was happy and smiley almost the whole time, even with snot running down his nose. I said to Josh, I babysat him yesterday, and he still got the hack. And I think he irped up in my hair. So therefore, I got up this morning and made sure I was ready for work with no baby puke in my hair. It's been a long time. Well, we've invited people to join in as we're talking about the respiratory illness season, because it is upon us, and we've asked people to be a part of the show as well at 651-461-9226. And we invite you to either call or text if you have a question. Maybe, and I don't know, Karen, to the extent to which you are medically inclined, but if someone had a question like that, how comfortable are you answering? Like, what's the duration of a sickness? Someone just said, I've had a cold for 2 weeks. This is really true in our newsroom.
Yeah.
How do I know when I can go back?
I can speak a little bit to, like, when, you know, you can return to activities in general, but I am not a clinician, so I mean, if someone has a question about their particular health, I would refer them to their healthcare provider. But I can speak about respiratory illnesses in general and trends and general infectious period and those kinds of things.
Well, let's do that, because this person does say, I've had a cold for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And this, I think, pertains to a lot of us.
Yeah.
You know, when do you go back to work? Because if coughing is the problem, no one's going to go back to work, because everybody seems to be hacking it up around here.
Right. And those coughs can really hang on for a while. Well, first of all, I would say, you know, if they think it's just a cold, they haven't necessarily been diagnosed with anything specific. There's a general rule of thumb that we tell folks for school and for work, but of course there's always exceptions if you maybe work with immune compromised folks, that if you're feeling better, like you've been feeling better, you don't have a fever, and you haven't had a fever for at least 24 hours without using Tylenol or ibuprofen, and you're feeling better for the at least 24 hours, generally, you know, you're probably not that infectious anymore, and it's okay to return to your normal activities. That said, you know, if you are like coughing all over the place and, you know, you're going to probably get some looks from folks as well. It's never a bad idea to just bring a mask along and keep that with you if that's a, a possibility. And, you know, just use that when you're close to other people and when you're really coughing and those kind of things. But you're right. Those coughs can last for a long time. And generally, if it's been 2 weeks and you're at least feeling somewhat better and don't have a fever, or you haven't felt worse, generally it's okay to return to your normal activities.
651-461-9226. We're talking to Karen Martin, the health program manager in the Infectious Disease Division of the Minnesota Department of Health. And we've asked you to be part of the show as always, so appreciate any text or questions that you might have. This texter writes, has the flu shot been as effective this year on the strains that are going around?
Great question. And I don't know. So usually in late February, we do get estimates of the efficacy of the influenza vaccine against circulating viruses. I have not seen those data yet. But in general, you know, it's on an average year, you know, it can provide anywhere from like 40 to 60% efficacy against getting influenza. But I think the more important message is that it can prevent you from getting really sick. So it can prevent some of the more severe complications from influenza. And so, you know, even if you're like, oh, I still got the flu, even though I got the flu shot, the truth is that you probably would have had an even more severe case if you had not gotten the influenza shot.
651-461-9226. If you have a question for Karen Martin with the Minnesota Department of Health, we're talking about respiratory illness, another illness that's popped up that I actually just heard about yesterday from my grandson's mother about this. They're seeing, and I hope you can speak to this, hand, foot, and mouth illness. Have you heard of that? I mean, I've heard of it because it was when my kids were little, 30 years ago. What is that? Is that a virus?
Typically, it is a virus, and it can be caused by a couple different viruses, but I believe it is caused by, this is not my expertise area, but
okay.
A Coxsackie virus. But it really is, I think you bring up a good point that there are many things as circulating. And so there's some diseases that we know a lot about and we have a lot of data and we can test for them and there might be vaccines for them like flu and COVID and RSV. But the truth is that there is an entire, I like to call it a viral soup out there. So many times you might be sick and you might not be able to identify what it is, but it might have similar symptoms. So that just goes to show you that there is many different illnesses out there.
Yeah.
COVID, flu, and RSV are ones that cause like a lot of illness every year. And so there's been more research and more surveillance necessary to sort of, you know, help inform the public. But they're certainly not by any means the only viruses circulating.
Yeah, we just had another question, and this is actually a little different. Because we talked about the difference between stomach flu and influenza, you know, you sort of say that flu word. Is there a difference between just the stomach flu and the norovirus?
Stomach flu is sort of a general term for things that cause, like, vomiting and diarrhea for viruses or for illnesses that cause vomiting and diarrhea. Norovirus is a specific virus and by far the most common virus that causes that type of illness. But there are other ones out there, some viral and some bacterial that can cause similar symptoms. But generally, people are talking about norovirus when they're saying stomach flu.
Yeah. Interesting. Like you said, there are a lot of different illnesses out there and they're all sort of hanging out there, making us feel like crapola. this is interesting because I had this question in my own head that I skipped past because we had questions. But when you were talking about late fall, the start of it to March and the timing, how much of it is related to the weather? A texter writes, is the flu, influenza, RSV, less prevalent in warmer states than Minnesota, meaning you can get outside and get away from the germs? Or kind of talk about what you see, if you can tell us sort of nationally where influenza is and isn't.
Sure. So, I mean, I think the entire country is experiencing high influenza right now. You know, some maybe at different levels. I think different areas of the country may peak in activity at a little bit different times. But in general, winter weather can help promote viruses like the flu for a couple different reasons. Just one, like you said, folks are inside. They're maybe closer together. They're closed up for the winter so that, you don't let the heat out of the house. Also, there is something about the dryness of the cold weather that allows the droplets from illnesses like influenza to travel a little bit farther in the air than they would otherwise. So that's one part. But there definitely is some seasonality to influenza. The fact that we get it every winter in temperate climates is just one piece of evidence against that. I would say that, in general, even places like Florida or California, they still have an influenza season sometime between fall and spring, but it might look a little bit different than what we see here in the upper Midwest.
Okay, great. Good for that. 651-461-9226. Again, it is 651-461-9226. I wonder if you can touch on this with the current situation with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the changes that are happening under the new administration. The texter wonders, are you noticing any changes or disruption in your ability to track infectious illness, or is it pretty much in good shape right now in terms of tracking?
Yeah, so I mean, we certainly still are tracking diseases, so we are still tracking them. But we really are just at this point, working to assess what the potential impacts of these initial actions from the new federal administration and what it would be on the work at the health department. But for now, we are continuing to do the work that we do and provide the best data that we can to the public.
That's great. And I want to remind people listening, lots of texts coming in, lots of good job, enjoying all the good information. A couple of questions from folks that are medical, and if we don't get to them, it's because you can't answer them. And a person writes, I have a problem that it's painful to eat or swallow. That would not come under your purview, correct?
No, I would recommend that they talk to their healthcare provider about that.
Okay, very good. Let's take our bottom of the hour break. It is 7:30, so we'll do that. And then when we come back, we'll take more questions to the top of the hour. Again, our guest, Kieran Martin, a health program manager in the Infectious Disease Division of the Minnesota Department of Health, 651-461-9226. And we are back with the second half of the program, our Health Hour. We bring it to you every week at this time, and we're always happy to have you a part of the show. You listening this morning, getting ready for church, or maybe you're going to go have a walk because it's nice out, you make the show possible without your involvement. It's just me talking to Kieran, but I love it when you call, 651-461-9226. Kieran Martin is our guest. She is health program manager in the Infectious Disease Division of the Minnesota Department of Health, about what's going on out there. A texter writes, there seems to be a lot of pneumonia illness right now. Is pneumonia contagious? Can you answer that?
I think it depends. A lot of pneumonia that happens can be like a secondary complication from an illness, from a viral illness. So there are some bacterial pneumonias that can be contagious. But I would just say, pneumonia can be serious. So, you know, if you suspect that you have pneumonia, you know, just make sure that you're checking in with your doctor on that, because typically, you know, they will give you treatment for that.
Because, for example, I'm sorry. Like, for example, influenza, which is what my grandson has, if that could turn into pneumonia?
Yeah, it's a possibility. I'd say most cases don't, but it is a potential complication. So what you want to, and again, you should consult with your doctor, your healthcare provider, but if you notice someone who's been, you know, who's had something like influenza, you know, they've been getting better, you know, they don't have a fever anymore, they seem to be getting better, and then all of a sudden they seem to be getting worse, then that's an indication that you want to talk to your doctor.
This is going to cover a couple of questions because I have a texter calling, or writing, I should say, at 651-461-9226. Texter writes, I'm leaving for Mexico City tomorrow for a pilgrimage and will be on a nonstop five-hour flight there and back. I'm wondering if I should be wearing a mask on the airplane. I'm in my upper 70s. And another texter just wrote, does wearing a mask during flu season help with prevention?
The short answer is yes. You know, folks are, you know, there's no mandate on to wearing masks anymore, but I personally wear a mask when I'm on an airplane. I think sometimes folks, you know, especially when they're traveling, you know, you're around a lot of people in close proximity. You also might, you know, be a little bit run down from all the activities and things. So yes, wearing a mask does help prevent getting influenza and other respiratory illnesses. Now, it's just one measure, so, you know, it might not be necessarily 100%, but it's certainly a layer of protection that you can do personally to protect yourself.
Interesting. She says, on a different note, my mother, as I grew up, always opened the windows up in the house every month in the winter to air out the house and get rid of germs for 15 or 20 minutes. I wonder if there's, if that's an old wives' tale or if there was some truth to that.
I have a mother-in-law who does that as well, or who did that as well. I think it depends. Like, in general, if you have someone that you're in, you know, in close proximity with that actively does have a respiratory illness, you know, any more air circulation that you can get is good. As far as like how much it makes a difference, I guess I can't really say. Or, you know, if there's no one in the house that's, you know, particularly ill with anything, I'm not sure that that would do anything. But, like I said, I don't have any data on that.
Well, I like to do it just to open up the windows. If it's 35 degrees outside, I'm opening windows because it's
nice kind of freshen up the house.
Exactly.
A
texter writes, I'm an 80-year-old man from Jackson, Minnesota, recovering from acute bacterial bronchitis, finishing off amoxicillin, no fever, greatly improved. Is it safe to get a booster? A COVID booster, I would say. Great information. So that's a great, because that is a good question, because a lot of people, if they're sick, want to know if that precludes them from any, like, vaccine, booster, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, right. And generally, if you're feeling ill with any kind of respiratory illness, you know, maybe you have a fever, other things, they generally will, you know, postpone getting that vaccination. I would say if he's feeling better, I don't see why he wouldn't be able to get it, but if you know, if he has a question about it, he should ask his doctor.
651-461-9226. We're talking about respiratory illness with Karen Martin, is the health program manager in the infectious disease division at the Minnesota Department of Health. A texter writes right now, how effective is the RSV vaccine for adults, and should a person get it every year?
Yeah, that's a great question. The RSV vaccine is a relatively new vaccine, but it has shown to prevent like severe disease in the age group it's recommended for. So right now it's recommended for a couple different groups. For older folks, everyone over 75 is eligible for it, and anyone 60 to 74 years old who might be at higher risk for complications can also receive one. The other group that is recommended to get vaccination is pregnant people who are between 32 and 36 weeks. That is to protect their newborn from RSV. So I would say, yes, it is effective. I think we're still, because it's relatively new, we're still looking at the data, but everything does point to a reduction in RSV disease. And I think the texter points out a good thing that it is, you know, the elderly and the very young who are most at risk for RSV. And so those are the groups that, you know, you really should consider either vaccination or for infants who are up to 8 months old whose mother did not get vaccinated. There is get a little technical, but there is a medication called nirsevimab that can help prevent those infants from getting RSV.
RSV, what does it stand for?
Respiratory syncytial virus.
And have we always had it, or is it new? Like, I never heard that term when I was growing up.
Yeah, I mean it has been around, and I think maybe one of the reasons why we're hearing more about it is because number one, being able to to test for it and recognize like the burden and how many cases we have of it, but also like I mentioned the development of some of these products like vaccine and prevention products. Mm-hmm. So. That, I believe, is maybe why you're hearing more about it. But it is a disease that has been around for quite some time.
Yeah, I was going to say. And then a texter writes at 651-461-9226. If you're listening and you have a question, 651-461-9226. This texter writes, is the RSV vaccination yearly? Is it just a one-time? What's the guidance on that?
At this point, it is just once, but, that may change as we get more data on it from year to year.
And again, just so once a year, a person should get an RSV vaccination.
I believe right now it's just that you would just get one if you're in those elderly age groups or recommended age group, that you would get one once.
Okay.
And then it's yet to be determined if this will be an annual kind of like the flu shot where you would get it every year. But right now it's just a single dose of the vaccine.
Okay, good to know. A couple people asked about that. We're going to take our last break of the hour. It is 7, just coming up on 7:45, 651-461-9226. Again, our guest, Karen Martin, Health Program Manager in the Infectious Disease Division of the Minnesota Department of Health. We'll be back with your texts and wrap up this hour with our guest after this. We're back. It is 7:48 on a Sunday morning, 30 degrees outside, some fog out there this morning. So if you are heading out, be aware of that. My name is Susie Jones, Josh Wheeler at the helm. Our guest, Karen Martin, Health Program Manager in the Minnesota Department of Health and the Infectious Disease Division. And we are in the middle of the respiratory illness season. A lot of people are sick with whether it be a cold or influenza or RSV or pneumonia. It's just this time of year we're all cooped up and a lot of us are sick. And a texter just writes, if you are sick, and this might be in your wheelhouse, maybe not, how long should you wait to see your family, like the infectiousness of influenza A? The contagious factor.
Sure. So influenza, again, I can give you like some averages, but you always want to think about if you have like a family or friend who might be very elderly or immune compromised, you maybe want to be a little more conservative. But similar to what I said earlier, influenza, you're going to be most contagious like the beginning of the illness, typically when you have fever, although some folks might not have very much of a fever, most do. So certainly you want to, isolate yourself from family and friends if you can, while you have a fever and while you have pretty severe symptoms. I would say once the fever is gone, again, for 24 hours or more, without taking Tylenol or ibuprofen. And if you've been feeling better for 24 hours in general, you know, it's probably okay to go back to your normal activities. And that may see maybe seeing friends and family. But again, you know, if you're not sure or you're worried about it, wearing a mask can help protect those around you. So you might want to add that onto your for a few days after once you come back into society, work, or family, just to add another layer of protection.
651-461-9226. If you have a question for Karen, we're talking about influenza and this season of being sick. 651-461-9226. Would love to hear from you. We have just a couple of minutes left of the hour. A person texted just a minute ago, 2 minutes. I'm a 75-year-old. I volunteer at a child care center. Do children, these germy little people, do they transmit illnesses more than others? I think that's so interesting because it does feel like when they go into that setting, they're like little petri dishes. You can maybe share what you see.
Yeah, I mean, it does certainly seem that way, doesn't it? I would say, you know, just the nature of, you know, children, particularly young children, you know, they're not covering their cough. You know, they're probably wiping, wiping their nose and things.
And then they're probably touching the other babies,
right? I'm remembering when my kids were small and, you know, they would literally like sneeze and then, you know, wipe it on their mom because why not? So I would say for a lot of reasons, yes, it probably isn't the most, conscientious group of folks when they're sick.
Yeah, I'll say.
If you want to put it that way.
They are not conscientious folks.
No, they are not. They are not.
They're sweet,
and
though.
So for that reason, you might want to be careful. If, you know, she said she's 75, you know, one of the things you can do, of course, is you can wear a mask. That's going to help.
Yeah.
But if you're really concerned, you know, and if you know that there are children who are sick, you know, it's not a terrible idea to separate yourself until you think that, you know, an outbreak or something like that has passed.
And you talk about masks, and I think about somebody else asked about prevention and kind of what can we be doing? I mean, obviously, like, I got the COVID and the, what did I get? Influenza? Yeah, influenza and COVID vaccine. And I have, and I mean, I'm knocking wood. I'm knocking Formica. Because, and I've been around sick people, and I've not gotten sick. So what other preventative measures can you take? Someone asked about the humidity level in a home. Does that have any bearing on it? Kind of like what should we be doing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's any, you know, any data on that. But certainly if you keep your, you know, if you're in a really dry environment and like your nose and your nostrils is really irritated, you know, that's not great either. I think you hit on it that, like, there's not going to be one thing that, you know, guarantees that you're not going to get these diseases, but there are some really good, like, layers of protection. Like, you talk about vaccine is probably the best one we can use, you know, masks when they're appropriate, you know, washing hands. Those are all things that are, you know, they've been around for a while, but, like, if you like layer them all together, then you can really increase your chances of not getting sick, as well as not spreading it to people who might be vulnerable.
651-461-9226. We have a couple minutes left here. We may have answered this already, but we'll just repeat it because it's good information. How long is the norovirus contagious? And I might add to that, just in general, a sickness. I mean, is it the fever without medicine? Is that the best indication of when you're no longer contagious?
You know, it really depends on what the illness is. So I can't say, especially when you're combining, you know, norovirus with, you know, respiratory illness. Yeah. And I will say that, you know, respiratory illness is sort of my area of expertise.
Sure.
And I'm trying to look up really quick. Norovirus can be contagious for a very long time.
Oh, really?
And,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, particularly if someone has diarrhea. So, you know, and I'm trying to
Karen, that's okay. I want
the timeline. Yeah. But I would just recommend that folks be really, really careful. Like if you're feeling better, but you still had diarrhea, you know, don't host a family dinner and cook, you know, don't bring something to a pot. Like, I mean, it sounds pretty common sense, but, you know, you might be feeling better, but, you know, it is possible to still transmit things if you're having some diarrhea.
And that's norovirus. Influenza.
Yeah, yeah. So that is not influenza.
Yeah, right.
That is not influenza.
Hey, somebody wondered, maybe you don't know, maybe you do. Do we know what Pope Francis is dealing with? Is it was it pneumonia or bronchitis? Did anyone ever say?
No, I heard that he was ill, but I am not sure.
I think he's out of the hospital. That's good. Okay. Good. This one, and we have about a minute. We're 65. We're traveling to see our family. Two of their family members so far have had influenza A. If they no longer have a fever, are they still in safe territory? Or should you still sort of be a little precautionary?
I mean, I'm not sure if this person means that they're traveling with them or going to see them. Yeah, I mean, certainly they're going to be, if they don't have a fever anymore, they're going to be less contagious. But again, they should see how they're feeling. Like, if they're still feeling really bad, then, they might still be contagious. And again, if you're unclear, you know, use some of those protection methods like masking and even some distancing if that's possible.
Okay. Hey, you've been great. Such fun to have you on and appreciate.
Well, thank you for having me.
We had a ton of people and a ton of great questions. And thanks again. And kind of just your rule of thumb is if you have a question and you're sick, call your primary doctor, right?
Yes.
And get vaccinated.
Yes, get vaccinated, wash your hands. Thanks for having me, Susie.
All right. Take it easy, Karen. Karen Martin with the Minnesota Department of Health with us on News Talk 830 WCCO. It is 7:57.